In recent times, everywhere I look, someone is writing or saying it's the age of anxiety. Someone is saying something about worry everywhere I look. Let me show you some examples. One writer recently wrote, "The evidence is overwhelming that we live today in an age of anxiety. The ordinary stresses and strains of life in the changing world of today are such that few, if any, escape the need to confront anxiety and deal with it in some way." Is that fair? I think that's how it is at the moment. Another writer recently said, "The more we worry, the worse our dreams. The more we talk, the more we are fools." You couldn't really characterize 2022 better than that, could you? Another writer said, "Even worse than worrying about real problems," which is legitimate, I suppose, "we suffer imaginary anxieties about real problems." Is that fair? That's what we do. And one final quote from a beautiful poem called "The Age of Anxiety." "The lights must never go out, the music must always play, lest we should see where we are, lost in a haunted wood, children afraid of the night, who have never been happy or good." Oh, I like this poem. Basically, it sounds like the writer to me is saying, we've always got our radios on, we've always got our earphones in, we've always got Netflix or the TV, there's always some noise. We modern people need our noise, because when it stops, we're like children in the dark. Now, I collected about a dozen quotes for this sermon, and I've just kept it down to four. And I've been playing a trick on you. Do you know what the trick I've been playing on you is? It's a Pastor Ray trick. Do you know what these quotes are? They're not written recently. Well, they are. Recently is a relative term, right? The first quote, "The evidence is overwhelming that we live in an age of anxiety, the ordinary stresses no one can escape," that was written in 1950. The second quote, "The more we worry, the worse our dreams," that was written 3,000 years ago by the great King Solomon in the Bible. The third thing that I quoted, "Even worse than worrying about real problems, imaginary anxieties, you know, our minds race," that was written by the Roman Epictetus 1,900 years ago. And the final quote about today's age of anxiety, which is my favourite, it's a poem by W.H. Auden written in 1947. But it could have well easily been today, couldn't it? The idea that we've always got our headphones in or our music on or the radio or the TV because we can't confront ourselves. That sounds like now. Is that fair? So why would I play this trick on you and show you quotes from 100 years ago and 3,000 years ago that sound exactly like now? Right. The first thing I want to say is anxiety and worry are not new. Humans have always battled our minds. Yes, I think there are particular things going on in the world right now that worry me. It's okay to admit that. There's some worrying things happening, aren't there? It is true that what's going on now and probably our technology are magnifying people's natural inclinations to worry. But, hear me clearly, worry and anxiety are not new. For thousands of years, ever since human beings fell, we've been worrying about worry, we've been anxious about anxiety, and we've been writing and talking about it. So it's not surprising that words from King Solomon 3,000 years ago, or the poet W.H. Auden in 1947, like 75 years ago, it's not surprising that those words sound like they were written in 2022, because anxiety is not new, it's just human. If you have suffered worry or anxiety, the first thing I would say to you is don't fool yourself into thinking that this is unique to you or that this is a new disease. If you do, you might even make it worse for yourself, because I guarantee you, you've got a room full of people who are fellow sufferers. I guarantee to you that you are not alone in this. Your pastors suffered it too. Don't be hard on yourself for being human. Humans have always worried and suffered anxiety and had battles in our minds. Why is that? Well, firstly, it's because we cut ourselves off from God. And peoples that cut themselves off from God and ignore God are automatically fearful. If you want to run the universe, if you want to be in control of all the outcomes, you're automatically going to worry. So if you have no God who's in control and you have to be in control, that's going to create a lot of anxiety. Secondly, our brains are designed to think. Our brains are designed to connect and imagine and come up with ideas. Problem is that this goes wrong. We connect and connect and connect and imagine and imagine and imagine, and unmanaged, our fallen human minds go wrong. I really want you to not be hard on people who suffer anxiety or worry, because even if you don't, you might find yourself in their shoes one day. And it's normal. Until the next life, there will always be stresses, concerns, maybe even worries, things that could provoke anxiety. And when Christians, we often talk about a thing called spiritual warfare. We're literally talking about a battle of the mind, a battle with our thoughts within ourselves. That's what spiritual warfare primarily is. It's not primarily fighting the devil, although it is that too, but the first part of spiritual warfare is the battle of your own mind with your own flesh, your own anxiety, your own anger, your own arrogance, your own fear, and growing in maturity and character. So, just wanted to start by saying, don't be down on yourself for being human. Humans have always done this, but there are answers to this. And so today, I actually looked up elephants online and discovered some stuff, and it's kind of fun, I hope. Today I want to say to you three things, but it starts with a zero. This is what I'm going to say to you in this sermon. Zero, your mind is like an elephant. One, don't avoid the elephant. Two, don't attack the elephant. Don't attack your mind. And three, feed the elephant something better. And this is very scriptural. It started with exploring scripture and it ended up going backwards to elephants. So first of all, let's get an understanding of the human mind. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's often called the human heart. The word is lev. In the New Testament, it's often called the mind. It's our consciousness and how we think. And I want to say to you, first of all, that your mind is like an elephant. Can you think of ways in which our minds are like elephants? I asked my wife this, and she said what most people say.
That elephants never forget.
So our minds take it in and keep it. Yeah, we never forget. Elephants aren't very good at forgiving either. I shouldn't tell this joke, but you know, there's this joke about an elephant. It gets bitten by a turtle. 20 years later, it's walking down the creek. It sees the turtle. It's 20 years later, and it kicks the turtle as hard as it can out into the savannah. And one of the other elephants says, why did you do that? And he said, because I've got turtle recall. I wasn't going to tell this, but it is. Who was that was laughing?
Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, okay. What I want to say about human minds is that, like an elephant, they're always consuming. They're always eating. They're always taking something in. Elephants eat up to 16 hours a day, much like your mind, taking stuff in. They are always chewing and digesting, and our minds are always ingesting, digesting, chewing on something. Is that fair? The second thing about elephants is that they're always producing 100 kilos of manure a day. That would be an African elephant, the big ones. And so your mind, like an elephant, always eating, always taking in, but also always producing. And manure is a good thing. It can be a good thing. It's a helpful thing. But the problem with our minds is that you need to manage. Any of you who are into farming animals, you need to manage them. And if you don't manage an elephant, you get a stinky, stinky mess. And if you don't manage your mind produces with what you take in, your mind produces. Jesus actually says in one place, out of the storehouse of the heart, we bring forth treasures. So whatever we store in, whatever we take in, we keep bringing out. In another place, Jesus says, it's not all the... He actually says that what comes out of our mouth comes from our heart, and from our heart can come all sorts of terrible things, can come terrible manure, you know, bitterness, envy, anger, lust. We like to pretend these things are not our faults, but actually our minds produce them because they're fallen. So, first of all, I was really tickled by this idea. My mind is like an elephant. It's always chewing, always taking in, and always producing. And it needs management, or what it produces will be a terrible mess. So now you know that. Three things to say about your mind from a scriptural point of view. What was the first one? Do you remember? Don't avoid the elephant. The beautiful thing about a biblical worldview is that it doesn't avoid the bad stuff. A biblical worldview is not one that avoids the evil of the world. If you read the Psalms, they are so realistic about the evil of governments and kings and wars, and we don't avoid the fact that we are flawed or broken or sinful. We don't pretend that we're all perfect all the time. We don't avoid the scary things in our minds. You don't avoid the elephant. This is a biblical way of thinking. So I'm going to play a game with you about this now. Here's an elephant. Take a good look at it. See its flat feet? See its wise eyes? See its memory? No, you can't. See its trunk and its big mouth? See what it's doing? This is a game. Now, I'm going to ask you for only 30 seconds to close your eyes. Close your eyes now. Don't think about the elephant. Say, I will not think about the elephant. Whatever you do, don't think about its trunk, don't think about its eyes, don't think about its memory. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Whatever you do, remember, tell yourself, I must not think about the elephant. Go. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you achieved this nirvana of not thinking about the elephant. This is an old counselling game. Most people, if not all people, fail the first time they do this thing. In fact, I think everyone does, because some people think they didn't think about the elephant, but they thought about not thinking about the elephant, which is thinking about the elephant. Some people do succeed, but you only succeed if you have a strategy and a plan. Did you have a strategy or a plan? What was it? That's exactly it. You're a genius, Odette. The strategy is to think about something else, to think about a recipe or sing a song in your head. Whatever you do, do something else, right? And that works in this activity for a bit at least. But what I want to say to you about your mind is don't avoid the elephant. Most of the time when you try not to think of something, what happens? You think of the thing, or at least you think of not thinking of the thing. So the first thing I want to say from a Christian approach to anxiety is don't avoid the elephant in the room. Let's name it. Too often we want to appear holy and precious and good and say, oh, I'm not anxious. I've got no problem. Number one, don't avoid it. It's okay to name it. People that avoid it often choose escape or escapism. I know because I've suffered anxiety. And so they go and they do something like they use Odette's strategy, but they do it unhealthily. They binge watch Netflix. You've never done that, have you? No. Stranger Things, man. You just read. Reading is good. But there can be an unhealthy dynamic where we know there's something, and it's good to give yourself some distance from something for a while. I talked about that in Sermon 1. But it's healthy sometimes to give yourself a little distance, you know? But you can't avoid it forever. And so we do escapism. It's what our culture's into. We're into holidays and Netflix and TV and people endlessly scrolling the internet. They call that doom scrolling. Doing addictive things, overeating or drinking or whatever it might be. If you avoid the elephant of your mind and what's going on in it with pure escapism, I mean, that may be a valid strategy for a very short time, but I guarantee you the elephant will still be there and bothering you when you've finished binge-watching that entire series on telly. It'll still be there, and it'll still be bugging you. The other thing that people do to try and avoid their worries is they try to set up a life with no stress, no challenges. Do you know someone that's tried to do that? To try to set up everything perfect. And you know what I have to say to that? I've been a victim of this strategy once or twice. Set it all up so nothing can go wrong. That is not following Jesus. I say that to myself and I say that to you. Jesus says, in the world you will have troubles. And he says this to his disciples, and he says it because you follow him, even you will have troubles. So, look, trying to set up a life where nothing ever bothers you is just not actually, it's not meaningful. If you want to do something meaningful with your life, there's going to be stresses and problems, aren't there? There are certain stresses that it's wise to ignore, to avoid. I'll give you that. But not for your whole life, or you won't be doing anything meaningful and you won't be following Jesus. So, the first thing I say to you, Jesus says in the world you will have troubles, you will have stresses, there will be things that will cause you worry. Take heart. He has already beaten it for you. And so, number one, don't give your anxiety or worry authority by running away from it. I would say this of spiritual warfare of any kind. Don't give things authority or power over you by going, and trying to create an alternate escapism reality. Doesn't work. You don't have to run away from your mind because Jesus is in it too. He's with you. Okay, that's the first thing. Don't avoid it. Let's talk about it. Let's be honest about it. Second thing, don't attack the elephant. Is that annoying anyone on the screen? How it's just off the screen? Great. Strategy one, don't get everything perfect. Second thing is, don't attack the elephant. What I mean by this is, don't approach your own mind as an enemy and decide, I'm going to whack it in the face. I'm going to kick it in the teeth. I'm going to subdue my own mind with my power. Don't say to yourself, you idiot. You shouldn't worry about this. What sort of stupid idiot worries like you do? You are a terrible Christian and a bad human being. What a terrible person you are to have this anxiety. I know some of you are already taking in those words. Do not absorb them for yourself now. What I'm saying is, don't attack the elephant. Don't condemn yourself. The Holy Spirit will do that well enough for you. You don't need to do it to yourself. Don't feel bad about feeling bad. It won't help. So here's a Bible verse you don't hear much in Lutheran churches. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, for though we are still flesh, we do not wage war in the power of our own flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but God's power to destroy strongholds. You might like to read the rest of that one because it's pretty incredible. What does this mean? Well, it means that when your mind is bothering you with worry anger, anxiety, fear. First of all, while you're in the flesh until heaven, there's going to be bits of that. That's life. But do not wage war against your mind in the power of the flesh. Don't make a frontal assault on your anxiety and tell it that it sucks and that it's terrible and that it shouldn't be there and judge it. It doesn't actually work. Have you tried it? I have. It doesn't work. I think it was Jim that said to me, fighting anxiety is sometimes like fighting a rip at the beach when you're swimming and there's this strong current. Was it you that said that? Someone was brilliant. Whoever said it, I'm giving you the credit, but someone else can have it. Yeah, it's like when you get into a rip, you know what the lifeguard suggests we do. Yeah, you don't muster all of your strength and fight and wage war against the rip and try and swim against it, because it'll just tire you out and you'll have nothing and you'll drown. Instead, you say, ah, a rip. You name it and don't fight it for a bit. Don't aggressively attack the rip. Let it be for a bit. And then when it's finished, then you have the power. So what I'm saying about anxiety and worry is, don't run from it. Don't avoid it altogether. But also, don't attack it with your own power and try to will yourself into not having it. That's just waging war in the flesh. Instead, no. Instead, introduce it to Jesus. Invite Jesus in. Remember, he says, you're going to have trouble in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then Paul says, we are flesh, which means there's going to be some troubles, but don't wage war with the flesh, with your own willpower. Instead, call on God's power to destroy strongholds. So, now I want to get to the real thing. I've told you what not to do, roughly. The thing that I really started with this week was that we need to feed the elephant something better. We have a couple cats. There have been times when we have fed them cheap cat food. And you know what happens when you feed the cat cheap cat food? Well, it either comes back out the front, which is ugly, or what it produces out the back is disgusting. If you feed it a bad diet, the cat produces stink, and sometimes even inside. Aren't you lucky now this church doesn't own a manse that you have to worry about the pastor wrecking it with cat sick? Now, if our mind is like an elephant or a cat, what we put in changes the output, right? So we need to feed the cat quality cat food, and we need to feed our mind something quality too, something better, right? So if you would like to read with me, this is one of the alternate Bible readings set for this Sunday. You ready? Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your mind on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And it goes on to say this, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. This is the better way, not running from your mind, not attacking it in your own strength. No, feed it something better. When you're anxious, this is a time to set your mind on the realities. I love that he calls this the realities of heaven, not the imaginaries. This is the real reality, heaven. This is your home. This is where you belong. This is where you've been called. This is where you're going. It's okay to set your mind on that. So I don't know what you do, but I say the promises of God out loud. I sing them. Sometimes even when people are listening. I write them down. I read them. Some people I know, actually we used to have this, didn't we? We had Bible verses and gospel promises written on cards stuck on the back of the toilet door. And I recall them. Some people carry them on cards in their wallet, ready to go. Some people have them on their phone. But what I'm suggesting is that we need to feed our mind, feed the elephant something better. And that is specifically the gracious promises of God. One life group at my former church, they just used to SMS. They used to text each other. You know, John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and life in all its fullness." Here's a game for the promises of God that I play, by the way. At 10:10, if ever I notice it's 10 past 10, I say John 10:10. At 3:16, I say John 3:16. I'm not very good at it, but I've been getting better over the years. There are some time slots that you might need to pick a different book. But feed your mind with amazing grace. That's what we are here to do now. That is why I actually think it's important for Christians to gather together to hear the Word of God in some way, whether it be a small group or a big Sunday thing, whatever. We've got to do that because we're going to feed on grace. Now, this is the Bible verse that started this sermon. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is what I mean by feeding the elephant something better. Feed your mind what is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy and true. About 5 years ago, I realized that I was addicted to the news. I had it all worked out. Every morning, I'd get up, I had my iPad set up, and I had all the tabs. I had the Australian and the ABC and the Guardian and the Huffington Post and the New York Times and news.com.au, which is terrible, and I had the conversation. I had it all ready to go, and I'd just sit there with my coffee and my nice brekkie, and I'd read all the news, and I love the news. I'm not going to ask if any of you do what I did. About 5 years ago, it was iPads, but if you had asked me what I did 20 years ago, it was The Australian. And I just love it. Just read it. Enjoy every moment of it, even the bad stuff. And then one day, I realized that I was feeding my mind. The first thing I was feeding my mind on in the morning of the day was bad. Bad news. It was the news of the world. And I went through a change where the first thing that I would read now, the first thing that I would feed the elephant is the Word of God. In whatever way you do it, there's no instruction in the Bible on exactly how to do it, right? But now, it's still my iPad, I admit. But I have the daily Bible readings here ready to go, or in your daily reading book. And I fill my mind not with the world's news, but with the good news. And if you feed the elephant something better, it might produce something better. So, almost finished. You know, I want to be a disciple, and as a disciple is a learner. The job of a disciple is to just fill themselves with the teaching of the teacher, follow the teacher, absorb all that the teacher has to give so it becomes a part of us. I don't want the morning news to become a part of me. I want Jesus and his word to become a part of me. And so, that's why I love this Bible verse. Think about these things. So I finish with a question for you to discuss and then a comment and then we're done. This is a longer one, I know. The question is this. The Apostle Paul says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, fill your mind with these things. So which of these eight things might you feel called to today? Can you maybe just point out one or two that you just feel called to in this moment? You might like to think of not what's your favourite, but you might even like to be reflecting and saying, God, the Holy Spirit, which of these are needed? Which of these is the medicine I'm called to take? Do you understand the question? Pick one of these that you're drawn to and tell someone. Which of these eight? Off you go. Just for any old reason. Mine was true too. Yeah, true. Because there's all sorts of things we think are true down here, but there's a higher truth that never changes, you know? People think their truth is always changing, aren't they? They say, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Rubbish, Christ is truth. Amen. I just heard a really great sermon then in just a couple words. Listen, don't avoid the elephant of your mind. It's okay to name it. Don't attack it with your own strength. Instead, claim the promises of Jesus. And finally, these are the things to feed the elephant of the mind. But when I look at these, there's eight. But I feel like the Apostle Paul, every single time he named these eight things, I feel like he had one great thing in mind. I think, it's joy, it's love, it's peace, it's hope, it's Jesus. And so look, this is the thing to fill our minds, the truth that I am a sinner and I need help. The noble work of Jesus, who is right and righteous and pure. Jesus, who is love. This is the news to fill yourself with. The message, the true message of the noble, righteous, pure Saviour who loves you. This thing. Just this one thing over and over again. Christ, the one who is admirable when I am not. Christ, who is excellent, who has given us the most excellent way. Christ, who is the only one worthy of praise. If you're going to fill your mind with one thing, the gospel, the good news, that God is love, that Jesus is the proof, and that God will never let you go. That's the thing to feed the elephant. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you that you are true, noble, righteous, pure, that you are love, you are admirable and excellent, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.